Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Nice and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm Jennifer English. I am the guest host while Max is on vacation. He's on his summer vacation, and he's enjoying well-deserved time on the ocean. And what that does is it invites us to go to our favorite places and talk to our favorite people, that when Max comes back, he'll go, I wish I had had that conversation. I need to know that person. Thinking about who Max would welcome at his table is easy, because all are welcome at Max's table. But who lights Max up? Well, that's a different story. You get to listen to that every week on Max and Friends. I've been fortunate enough to have been a guest. I've also gotten to interview Max many times. I've shared the mic with him. But most importantly, I think it's important to recognize that Max brings the fine art of welcoming to life. Welcoming and hospitality, it's in his DNA. But the universal welcoming that comes from genuinely having the intention of welcoming guests and saying to them, I see you, I hear you, and you matter, means that I'm going to listen to what you have to say. And it's an invitation that is, frankly, an interviewer's dream. So today we're going to have a very, I think, fascinating opportunity to talk to one of the pioneers in a burgeoning movement that is literally taking industries that we've known for a very long time in the hospitality space and reimagining them, which is, of course, what we do at the end of this sort of pandemic period when we close down a bunch of restaurants and bars and we reimagine what the future of food and hospitality was going to look like. And so we are going to take you to California. We're going to go to the coast. We're going to take you north from where you are right now in Los Angeles. We're going to San Francisco, in the greater San Francisco area, home to beautiful seaside communities and the beach itself, living in that proximity to the power of and the beauty of the ocean is something that will really define what life looks like for you. So for us, I want you to imagine what a great cafe looks like. I want you to imagine what a public house looks like. I want you to imagine what a saloon might look like. I want you to imagine what Ocean Beach Cafe might look like. Ocean Beach Cafe is located in San Francisco and is a bar and bottle shop that offers food and drink with something distinctive. It is alcohol-free, but it is born of the tradition of the fanciest alcohol-free cocktails, alcohol-free craft beer and wine, exotic functional elixirs, temperance wine, simple pleasures, coffees, teas, Sandoz. But most importantly, I believe, they are mastering the new art of hospitality and making people feel welcome who, up until this point, were always second-class citizens in public houses where alcohol reigned. And from my mind and to my thinking and my way of thinking, it's really important for us to remember that when you go to make everyone feel welcome, it really has to feel authentically welcoming. And Joshua James makes everyone feel very welcome when they come to his place. Soon to be an empire of welcoming in the San Francisco and greater area. He joins us now from the Ocean Beach Cafe. Hello, how are you?
I'm so good. And you are so good. Thank you for that amazing welcome. And you really painted a picture there. And there were so many good points, just so many amazing points in there. And it's all true. I feel great today after a super, super busy weekend. And then I had enough staffing so I could like jump out and go surf real quick. And then I've come back to do this really, really cool temperance tasting. And I'm sitting here getting to talk to you now, and I'm super stoked.
So temperance, I want to start with this because people are using all kinds of language to describe a genuine and authentic movement. There is really a movement around choosing to remain alcohol-free without giving up any of the pleasures of the sipping experiences and the sipping arts. Now, historically, you might say non-alcohol, alcohol-free, temperance. There's so many mindful ways of saying this. Can you give us the 101 about alcohol-free and the sort of weather report on the movement? When did this movement start? I know we can go back to the temperance movement that sadly gave us prohibition, but that had a very different intention. And I don't want to take people there again, because that's not what this is. And I want to make sure we're very clear that that's not what this is.
You're right. That's not what this is. It's not the temperance movement. And the verbiage is in an interesting place right now. It's always neat to see what sticks. And you know, is it the non-alcoholic movement? Is it the alcohol-free movement? Europe likes to use the phrase alcohol-free, which is great. Culturally, the U.S. still using non-alcoholic, but there's just like some negative terms in there. Both of those words and hopefully the double negative of non-alcoholic, you know, it makes it positive. But mindful drinker has come up in a lot of articles and got some traction. I think we have yet to see. We got several phrases that are going to be they're going to make it into the canon. I think mindful drinkers is going to be one of them. I titled the short doc that I produced was mindful drinker. And another word to throw in there is drinking less. That was almost the name of the short doc. And I like drinking less because this isn't just about abstinence and sobriety. This is about people that would just like to drink less. And the majority of the people that are purchasing these non-alcoholic beverages, like online, are actually people that do still drink. This Ocean Beach Cafe here, there's bottles everywhere. And and I tell people this isn't a sober room, or you know, like this isn't like a sober house. This is definitely for everybody, and it really does feel that way. And it involves much more people. There's a whole statistic of people. It's tens of millions of people that recently have cut back on drinking or stopped drinking altogether. And it has to do with a few major things that I'm sure we'll be getting into, but it's super exciting stuff. Don't really see any naysayers, and super excited to talk about it.
I want to start by talking about the difference between sober and alcohol free.
Okay. I was just talking about
it
a little bit ago.
We're on. Let's do it.
All right, let's go for it. I don't use the word sober as much. It does have a definition. I think it also has a stigma and a weight behind it. So if you want to visualize it in the direction of like 12-step AA, it's like I'm sober, I don't drink, I'm sober, got a community and got a book. And those are super important, those communities. They help a lot of people. They are kind of not so supportive of like non-alcoholic beers and wines, which is totally understandable, as these beverages are not for everybody. That is what I call the disclaimer, and it's super important. I mention it every day that these non-alcoholic beers and wines and spirits and cocktails and stuff may not be for everybody, especially in early recovery and significant recovery. And I lived in a sober living house for 9 months, and 25 people I lived with, I could see who it may and may not be for. The sober space, right? I see that as a section and on the spectrum. And the spectrum has a bunch of other demographics, if you will. Say pregnant women, say people that take medication that can't drink alcohol because of that. Say it is people that may suffer from alcohol use disorder. And that's a certain section, and it's actually kind of one of the minorities, but the majority of the spectrum is actually made up of people that just don't really like to imbibe in alcohol and get intoxicated, and people that now they just don't want to feel bad the next day. And they're watching their calories. They care about like wellness. So there's this big trend of wellness, right? Over the last 6 to 8 years. I mean, it's just always kind of been there, but just more and more. And it's this wellness that is a big part of that spectrum. And that's why this isn't just a sober house. Yes, we do have a lot of AA folks that go to AA that do come in here. And I do believe there is, even with the younger generation in AA right now are more receptive, more into these kinds of beverages. But there is a spectrum, and the majority of it is people that are just into wellness and being focused and doing good at their jobs and being present. I would love to know that I didn't lose you, Jennifer, because I can keep on going. Since I can't hear anything back.
Here we go.
At this point,
can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
We're going to do a reset.
Okay.
We're going to do a reset. I'm Jennifer English. And you are listening to Max and Friends. Max is on summer vacation. He's on the ocean. And we are very fortunate to have one of my very good friends. Joshua James is the founder and proprietor of Ocean Beach Cafe. It is one of the preeminent bottle and cocktail shops that serves alcohol-free beverages. He's one of the specialists. He's one of the leading experts in the country on this topic. He's at the forefront of a movement. For many years, he lived in Hawaii, and he understands what it is to be one with your environment and your body. He was a career bartender for over 15 years, and he has a very easy way of welcoming his guests and what I'm going to say, surfing the moment. In opening up Ocean Beach Cafe, he took an approach that has all of the elements of his Hawaii time, of loving where you're living, of giving yourself, you know, extraordinary opportunities for mental health and physical health and spiritual health, and being active and fun-loving and being in the water and being under the sun. And all of that comes into play at Ocean Beach Cafe, where he makes an environment where his connoisseurship is on display as much as his hospitality. He is both an aficionado and a purveyor of alcohol-free beverages, and Ocean Beach Cafe is rapidly making a name for itself as one of the, if not the best place on the West Coast, certainly one of the best places in North America for the non-alcoholic beverage industry to turn for an example of what the future of food and hospitality is going to look like in an alcohol-free way. His name is Joshua James, and he is here with us having a conversation and introducing us to the future we're all going to share, which is a future that includes alcohol-free as much as it includes great cocktails as we've historically known them, aligned with the great beverages and distillates, rums, whiskeys, tequilas, etc. He's done some exceptional things in curating one of the finest offerings that has been assembled to date, with over 300 bottles, wines, beers, elixirs, amaros, aperitifs, sparkling wines, an analog to those very classic traditional beverages you'd find at a Total Wine. He joins us to help give us our 101 about what it means to be a connoisseur of the cocktail experience in an alcohol-free way. It's really a pleasure to welcome him back. Josh, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. I love to hear you speak and to tell your stories. And you always paint such a great picture with your words. Thank you. So
hey,
great
listen,
to be here.
I'm really curious. You know, you lived in Hawaii, and I think when most of us think of Hawaii, we think of Mai Tais and tiki drinks. We think of relaxing on the beach. You know, we think of surfing. All of the things that were part of your life. You were a career bartender. How did you come to the alcohol-free moment? And how did that turn into an opportunity? And how did that opportunity into your mission?
I decided to take a year off drinking to see what would happen. And I knew that I needed a longer term commitment. And it wasn't super hard for me to not drink when I had made that commitment. And my brother was like, you should go check out the Friendship House. It's for the Friendship House in San Francisco. So the Native American based rehab. And I was like, I don't feel like I'm that bad of a case, but I don't want to be where I'm at. And yes, I'm all about a life rich in experience. So let's take a year off and let's go to this rehab. And it was there about a month into it. I remember this moment and I'll never forget that. I was like, I am going to review non-alcoholic beverages, and I'm going to find them, and I'm going to get a van, and I'm going to drive to them, and I want to like know all about them. And then when I left that place 2 months later, COVID had just hit, and then I left there and I got my first Run Wild IPA from Athletic Brewing Company, and I cracked it open and I drank it, and I was like, yes, I knew it. It's good. It's craft IPA. Let's go. Josh the Non-Alcoholic on YouTube and Instagram, the No Booze Reviews, and it was on.
Josh the Non-Alcoholic and your reviews of alcohol-free products have made you a bit of a superstar and certainly an influencer in this category. When did this all happen, and what's the timing of this, and where are we in this cycle of what's going on?
So COVID hit around February 2020, and then in June, I started the No Booze Reviews as Josh the Non-Alcoholic on YouTube and then on Instagram. And I was like, I'm going to make 50 videos and see where it takes me. And I had never done that before, but I wasn't drinking. There was no hangover. So like I stuck with it, and I actually found out that I enjoyed the process. And I, about 30 videos in on about October of 2020, I walked into this deli that was permanently closing in a week. And the guy was like, you want to buy the place? And I was like, sure. How much? And he was like, $50,000. And I was like, all right, for everything? He's like, yes. I'm like, you mind if I sit down? He's like, go ahead. So we sat down for about 20 minutes, and I didn't have any money. I had horrible credit, but my brain was just firing like it never had before. And I searched oceanbeachcafe.com and it was available, and I was like, damn it. All right, I'll do it. I'd opened like, I don't know, 12 restaurants in the past, worked in probably 40 or 50 places, got fired from like 14 of them in that last couple of few years. And I was like, this is my time to do it. 38, 39 years old, like, go ahead, commit to it. And then I got the funding, an angel investor swooped in, and I bought a bunch of beverages and put the food menu together with a great chef and opened it up and was like, okay, let's see how it goes. And we sold out in the first week. I was like, yes, all right, let's go.
So you became your own landlord, you became your own boss, you became the leader of movement. And what did people say? Like, what are people saying to you that surprise you?
I intuitively thought it was going to take like over a year for them to really get the whole non-alcoholic beer thing. And it was immediate. I also opened in January of 2021, so it was a dry January, and that helped. Also had a huge article come out in SF Gate. It was like, new SF Beachside Cafe is making non-drinking cool. Madeline Wells wrote it, and she wrote it so well, and it painted a picture, and it got people there, and it was the neatest demographic to see, and it was, that was way before there was like mass awareness or common awareness of the category. It wasn't until I would say about October of 2021, sober October, I really felt like people started coming in, because I'm a cafe. I sell thousands and thousands of sandwiches and many thousands of cups of coffee at this place because I'm a block from the beach. And I get a real good pulse on like the masses. And it wasn't until about October, November, when people coming in are like, yeah, I've heard about this. And then I had record month after record month all the way up until February. And just, it just keeps going and compounding on itself. It's unbelievable.
And this is a place that was just destined to be yours. It was a place that was doing a deli, and it was the same block from the beach. They weren't making it for some reason. What spoke to you about the place and the space and the opportunity and the moment? What were you listening to, and what did it say that made you go, yeah, I'll do this? Have you thought about that now when you're looking back at it?
I do. It is hospitality for sure. Some of my strengths in bartending was I really like to show people the things that I've found in my life and be like, check this out. And now I get to do that all in the NA space. I really enjoy like blowing people's minds on just like really neat things and presenting them in the way with some passion and just naturally. And I hear it's kind of contagious. And so it's my own place now. So it's like, oh, I'm going to mess people up. I'm going to get them so good, like all the time. And I really do get to, and it is the funnest part of the job. And it always has been. It's just like showing people the coolest things, because now it's all in the NA space, like these functional elixirs and double IPAs and amazing South African wines. Like, people come in for sandwiches and coffee, real basic human needs, and every single one of them before they leave knows what those bottles are. And they see it for the first time, and I watch their brain flip and be like, huh, wow, I didn't know there was that much. And I'd be like, you want to try something cool? It's like, boom. And they're like, oh my goodness. And it is a whole new world. The first step is like to see it. They just need to see it. And the next step, they get to taste it, or I talk about it with a few sentences. And it's like, oh, this is a possibility. It's never happened in society, not like this. And now that it has, and that these beverages are available, what all of this really means is huge. And it is super exciting.
You are a bartender and you own and are running a bar that is alcohol free. It's in the greater San Francisco area. It's called Ocean Beach Cafe, and you are drawing a national and international audience and attention for the fact that you're doing something that is so on point right now. You are so ahead of the curve. You are innovating. And it's really interesting to watch. There is a global movement and certainly a national movement afoot, the alcohol-free movement. And it's really bringing people from all manner of life experiences. And what is most surprising is I think if people are listening to us, they may say, I tried that O'Doul's and that was lousy. How can this guy run a bar serving O'Doul's? And I'm going to be quick to point out, you don't. You serve everything that is the highest. Like, it's shocking how good this stuff has gotten. We're going to talk about that in the second half of the show. But before we take our first break, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about how important your fidelity to the cocktail movement, the global cocktail culture that exists right now, had to be.
Oh, it's a great question. It's so neat to have a base as like working in like classically trained cocktails and working in some really neat speakeasies in New York, some nice spots here in San Francisco and LA, managing bars in a bunch of places has been super, super cool to like now get to take all of that and put it into this space. I think it's pretty unique. And what is coming, I think, is even more exciting as there is a shift, as you mentioned, like food and beverage post-COVID has a chance to open up, and what this category has to open up into is think about things like new current classic cocktails that are non-alcoholic. There are distillates that I have here that I can taste you on that taste like nothing you've ever had in your life, guaranteed. And I can make drinks with those now. I can give you experiences and tastes that are original. Sure, there's non-alcoholic whiskeys and tequilas, but there's other stuff that does not taste like anything and a bunch of other things. So now we have an opportunity to like create new things, but also I love the concept of getting into the kitchen. The bar can be an extension of the kitchen, and there is all kinds of techniques in the kitchen that can be used in bar now for where we can take things to next level, and it is totally wide open.
We're going to take a break in a little bit more than a minute. We're talking with Josh James. He is the owner and founder of the Ocean Beach Cafe, one of the country's leading alcohol-free bars. He's a bartender. He owns a bar. He opened a bar, and it's an alcohol-free bar. And in the course of what he's been doing, he's not only making people stand up and take notice, but it's his reviews of these non-alcohol products that are really gaining him a lot of attention and followers, people who are really reimagining what it is to be alcohol free for health and wellness reasons, for mental health reasons, for spiritual, for all kinds of reasons. You don't even need a reason anymore. You just want to have something irresistible to sip. He has found an entire, I think it's something like 300 bottles offering of different products. You are not going to miss a thing. In fact, you're going to be so delighted by the cocktail craftsmanship that you're going to get literally knocked out. We're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, our friend is going to take us on a tour of the best alcohol-free brands in the marketplace in all 10 categories. We're going to give him a chance to pick one or two from each of the top categories. And I'm telling you, it's the kind of thing you're going to want to have on hand for when people come to your home and you want to offer them something better than O'Doul's. Trust me, I know Max would want to offer the best to his guests. I want to as well. We've turned to the world's leading expert, Joshua James, to give us that advice. We'll be back with more. This is Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. We'll be right back. I'm Jennifer English, standing in, sitting in, and gratefully being in the studio while Max Tucci is on vacation here behind the mic at Max and Friends. Max and Friends is one of my favorite shows, and it's been such an honor to sit in for Max while he's been on his well-deserved summer vacation with the opportunity to bring in guests that I know Max is going to be envious that he wasn't here in the studio having the conversations with us. I'm very fortunate to have some fascinating friends in the business, and my business has always been the business of hospitality and food and beverage. And it's in that Rolodex of mine that I began to imagine who would be really fascinating to sit down on a Sunday evening and have a chat with and introduce people to some really provocative, leading edge ideas about the future of food and hospitality. Our guest tonight is one of those. Joshua James is the founder and the owner of Ocean Beach Cafe in San Francisco. It is a bar run by a great bartender, and it is an alcohol-free bar who is taking the craft cocktail movement and moment that is occurring all over the world right now. In fact, Tales of the Cocktail was happening this week. And the world of the cocktail industry is booming and bigger than ever. It happened very quickly over the last 20 years. And one of the next iterations that this industry is going to evolve is the sector known as alcohol-free. You'll walk into a craft cocktail bar. You'll sit down. You'll be shown a menu. It will have house-made tinctures, elixirs, and AF spirits, the really fresh juices and distinctive flavors and bitters and other elements that go into a great crafted cocktail will all be there. The bartender will make you something, present it to you. It'll be stunning to look at. You will take one sip and say, this is one of the best cocktails I've had in the last 5 years. And it really won't matter that it's alcohol-free. But it will the next day or later that evening when you just feel better. You feel lighter and better and brighter, and for all the reasons that you might choose to explore what it means to limit or diminish the amount of alcohol you consume for any number of reasons, that's kind of not even the point. People don't pursue new ways of eating and drinking like we're all doing after the pandemic, and have to explain why. We're just all on a quest for the most irresistible food and drink we can find. In this entire category, we could think of no one better than to join us and give us our 101 tutorial on the future of food and drink in the realm of alcohol-free, Joshua James from Ocean Beach Cafe. Welcome back.
Thanks so much, Jennifer. Yes. It's a very, very exciting time. Any relevant food and beverage program out there is got to be actively working on, including the person that wants to drink less alcohol or maybe doesn't drink at all, which is now the majority of people. And it's exciting to see it unfolding, and it's happening super fast.
In all the products, and we should tell people, you have a bar and bottle shop. How many different alcohol-free products do you have in your bar and bottle shop?
Ooh, right now, I am probably sitting on over 70 brands in the house. And there's some major players, which are the most well-known. And I just want to let any bar manager or buyer or owner out there that there are, I can just give you a quick 10 that you have to know about and probably haven't heard of. But yeah, coming from a bartending background, there is some stuff that I have to show you, things that you can play with in drinks, and then new concepts of that ritual of having a drink in your hand and being social with that pretty drink in your hand with interesting flavors for the adult palate. These are things that are bigger ingredients than alcohol, especially for a lot of people and the tens of millions of people that, say, in the last year or two have decided to drink less or perhaps to not drink at all. There is some amazing stuff, and I can't wait to show them to you, taste them, and let people see what is going on right now.
If there was one thing that you discovered that just convinced you and shocked you at how good it was, that made you go, wow, this is going to be a thing, what was the thing that really, you know, turned the light on for you? What was the, what were the switch, the flip the switch moment for you in this?
It's getting better and better. And I guess if you're referring to what was one of the first switches, because it was a significant one, was when I had that first craft IPA. It was Athletic Brewing Company's Run Wild. And I drank it and I was like, yep, it is on. And then it is still amazing. It has a bigger brother, which is the Free Wave Hazy IPA, which I think just everybody needs to try if that's their first one too. That's just, it's perfect. I give that one out a lot. The Free Wave. But then if you want to take that to a next level, there's a double hazy IPA from Untitled Art that will stick with me for the rest of my life. Whatever they're doing in Wanakee, Wisconsin is mind-blowing. And then if you want to talk about wine, there's a Prima Pave from Northern Italy that is unbelievable. And then just real quick, If you want an Amaro, and that will absolutely blow your mind. It's the Pathfinder is really showing what's being done now, really raised the bar. And I could go on some more, but those are some highlights.
So I want to just point out, if anybody has questions about any of the brands that we're talking about, and you want to try these for yourself, aside from your shop, where can people find these? Is this like the Underground Railroad of alcohol free, or is this a tiny aisle at Total Wine? I mean, where does all this live? How easy is this stuff to find?
Great question. Accessibility is a major topic here. Where do you find it? How do you get it? And Total Wine and BevMo have done a great job of taking this on. And they have a bunch of stuff, but there's also a whole bunch of startups that it literally takes years to get to a point where you can produce enough to get into major distribution to where you're ready to send a truckload, right? So there's a bunch of other stuff that goes direct to consumer or direct to me with a wholesale price that you may not see as much. And I will say that the stuff that is the easiest to get oftentimes is not the best. And they put a bad taste in people's mouth a lot. And I know that for a fact because I talk to those folks all the time, if not every day. And
so I'm gonna assume
there's a whole bunch of stuff.
I'm going to assume that like Seagram's and William Grant aren't racing into the space. They have the operations of making, you know, major brands that are in the alcohol space and the spirit space. Are they racing to this or are they just ignoring this? What's their position?
No, they are. They are, and they've come in here. So I can say something on that. And if they're not going to actively buy brands, which would be part of their pivot, depending on the company, then they're going to be creating their own, like Tanqueray 00. I believe Gordon's just came out with their zero gin as well. So this will be a way that they can keep their brand still front facing and include what is now the majority of people that either aren't drinking or they want to pace them out throughout their evening, because that's going to be a part of this too. It's people that like their second drink or maybe their third drink. Can be one that will allow them to be social longer.
I want to talk about the categories. Traditionally, this was a thin offering. And when we talk about alcohol-free, we're now talking about the analogs, which are rums, whiskeys, vodkas, gins, tequilas. We're talking about functional elixirs, distillates, composites, wine, beers, Amaros, aperitifs, ready-to-drinks, and cannabis. All of this is under the alcohol-free banner. Those 10 categories are going to account for some major discovery and opportunity for people for the foreseeable future. Is this a movement or a moment?
I'm going to say this is a movement because it's the perception shift that has happened. And the perception shift, the perception of alcohol has had a shift for a few major reasons. There was a few books that came out that helped with that. There was over 300 brands that came out that are all marketing themselves. And then there was COVID, where people were drinking more. Therefore, they started to drink less. And then all around a similar amount of time, in about 2 or 3 years, it was just brand after brand was coming out. But that happened at a time when people wanted to drink lower ABV. The beers on beer lists were going lower ABV. Aperol Spritzes, White Claws, lower ABV was like allowing people to drink longer and has lower calories because alcohol is all calories. And so it was a general trend of the last 10 years that went lower and lower in ABV, lower and lower. And then it was like, it's low to no, right? So low to no is a huge market. And then all the no's started coming out, all the alcohol-free stuff. And it got super interesting really quick because there wasn't non-alcoholic Amaros and aperitifs and vermouths and a bunch of these other things, and a whole bunch just came out, and it just changed everything.
What are some of the brands that you want to make sure we tell people about? If I could have one or two things in my home for when guests come, no matter where I live, what are the things that are worth, you know, seeking out and purveying so that we can make sure we have them for our own home use?
One of the first things comes to mind is Three Spirits as a functional elixir. There's three of them, and one of them is called a social elixir. So some things to maybe be a bit more convivial. There's one that has some, it's more for a pick-me-up, if you will. It's called the Livener, and it's got things like caffeine and ginseng, among other things, to kind of pick you up. And then there's one called the Nightcap that things like hops and chamomile to wind you down a bit. And all three of them are distinctly different in flavor profile and very desirable. So you can serve something like those on the rocks if you wanted to and be like, check this out for something to get started with your evening. Or you can create a new ritual, which is definitely happening with that Nightcap, where that's your moment to sip it on a big rock and have a moment, and is something to wind down. Alcohol is not required to wind down in your evening. And something like that is amazing to create a new pattern and ritual with.
You talked about, when we were getting ready for this conversation tonight, you were talking about wonderful distilling practices and masters versus composites. There are some things that have really earned your respect and attention. Talk a little bit about those distillates, please.
Yeah, it's so you can geek out on it a little bit more, where there is a lot of food science. There's a lot of R&D going into how to make these products, because there is no blueprint on how to make a non-alcoholic whiskey. And there are some distillates involved, and one that comes to mind is Wilderton. It's master distillers at the height of their craft, putting together ingredients that maybe you've never heard before, and creating products that don't taste like anything I've ever had. And I've literally spent the last 17 years trying as many things as I can in this life. So that kind of stuff is super neat. And then there's things that are more composites, that are like trying to figure out what kind of extracts, how to blend them to make them taste, say, as much like a whiskey as possible. And they are going about it in completely different ways. And it's super fun to make drinks with these things and see how they play in a cocktail.
There's a product called Spiritless Kentucky 74. What do you think about that?
I like that one. I pick that bottle up a lot. There's two main things that people come in and ask about. And it is, so what do you got for red wine? And what about like non-alcoholic whiskey? And those are the two like hardest as well. But that Kentucky 74, I definitely pick up the most because it's fully flavored and the aroma is unbelievably spot on to specifically like Northeastern, like New York whiskeys. I spent 2 years in New York and I tried a bunch of different Northeast whiskeys, and there's something about their like baking spice that comes through. And it was the first thing I smelled when I smelled that Kentucky 74, but then it has this like woodsy, barky way about it. And then it kind of ends on a little bit of a bitter finish. All of that is just great for making a drink. And maybe not, these aren't, it's not really in a place where you're like sipping it. And that isn't super well known, but that's what we do here is educate people on the fact that like the whiskey's not really in this sipping place. That's kind of an alcohol thing that's been aged and matured in barrels. And there's a lot of things that change within the alcohol in the barrel itself that give you a sipping experience. And I do believe we are going to get there. But right now, that Kentucky 74 makes an amazing Boulevardier. You can make sours. I'm making a New York sour with it right now that I love. It's a aquafaba sour and red wine, and all of it just plays together. It's like, that's what I want to show people. Like, try this drink. And I get to do that a lot down here. Super fun.
There's a company called Lyres, L-Y-R-E-S, and they have several bottlings, one of which sounds incredibly appealing and alluring to me. It's the Italian Orange, non-alcoholic. And then they do an aperitif, Rosso, non-alcoholic aperitif, like a vermouth. How is the Lyres brand? What do you like about them?
They have, I think, over 26 SKUs. They have so many products, and I like a few of them for different reasons. And those that you mentioned are awesome. Their aperitif is great. The Italian Orange, they got the sweet vermouth too down. Like, that is, I guess you could call it the industry standard right now. I need that bottle. And they actually came out with an absinthe as well. It's just really neat looking. They're a little thin at times, and I wish that they would pack some more flavor so that it could really stand up in a drink. But that doesn't go for all their products. They have a bunch of different things, and those would be the standouts, I would say. And I'll also give a nod to their Agave Blanco spirit, because they innovated the burn. There was a lot of companies that were putting like a capsicum fruit, as they would say, or a capsaicin, so a chili extract, to mimic a burn. And a lot of brands were doing that. But then Lyres, when innovated it, put a bit of a menthol in there. So it has a more lingering sensation literally in the back of the throat. That actually could almost be triggering to some. So it's pretty amazingly accurate. And I really like to see innovation in the space, and they've done that.
When you said the word thin, immediately what came to mind for me was Seedlip. They're one of the pioneers in the category, but to me, they were always just very thin sips. Just left me cold.
Yes. And so hats off to them for pioneering and trailblazing straight up. That's what they did. They gave people a choice. Like, that is a massive thing, but they also put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth, as that is as thin as it gets. And it could have a little bit more flavor, honestly.
And it's indistinguishable in a way.
It can get lost, but it was also so widely distributed, and it turned people up. It's the most beautiful bottle as well, but it also kind of turned maybe bartenders off to being like, why, that was a $38 bottle of water that had some flavor to it. And I don't want to sound like I'm knocking them, because I have so much respect for the fact that they were like the main thing that trailblazed this, and that was 8 years ago. I just want bartenders to know that, like, there is so many, like, really, really neat things. And that viscosity aspect I talk about a lot, because it's so important in a drink and what it does to a drink. To have that kind of body is super important. And I'm telling you, there's a bunch of really, really neat things that do have that.
You had mentioned in the lead up to this conversation that sparkling wines were a category that had been doing particularly well in the innovation realm, that people are doing a good job in the sparkling wine space. Who do you want to make sure we know about?
First, I want to let you know that the engineers are getting better at making machines, and the people operating the machines are getting better at something that is very difficult to do. And it is, some grapes in certain regions do better going through de-alcoholization machines than others. And there are different countries around the world that are producing those kinds of grapes that are making higher quality wines. I just had one today called Lautus. It's brand new, out of South Africa. They're using a state-of-the-art machine, and I know that because I've talked to the people that built that machine, and they've been here, and I've got to geek out with them a couple different times. Lautus is tripping me out right now, because the mouthfeel that I felt today on their sparkling wine is amazing. And also, the sparkling wines they just have a little bit more lift, not to mention sparkling wine is just really fun. So there's an energy there with sparkling wines. Reds are the hardest. Reds are going to be the hardest. My managing partner mentioned today, he's like, maybe we shouldn't bring in just one or two reds. And I was like, just because it's that difficult. But I do have some really good reds worthy to share, which I do. And so other than Lautus and the Prima Pave, Northern Italian, mineral-driven, cold climate, steep slope, Gewürztraminer, Pinot Grigio, it is unbelievable. And then one more I'll shout out is Knoll. Knoll chose their wines out of Germany and Spain very well. And Germany has got their own machines, it seems like, and what they're producing is amazing.
All right, so Josh, we've got about a minute left. The time has flown. I've been writing furiously. I had to sharpen my pencil twice. That's how much writing I've been doing, taking down notes. You've been incredibly generous, and this has been really valuable. And before we say goodnight, and certainly thank you for being here, I'm going to give you the last word. What do you want to leave people with to inspire them to explore this category?
I want to let people know that these beverages exist, but much more than that is like what this means for society. Like the way that society socializes, the default was always alcohol, and that is going to shift. We were one of the first two places to have a non-alcoholic bar and bottle shop. And there's over 30 now, and there's another 100 coming, and it's going to be common to have a space to go to in the evening, say, that you can sit down and try all of these new things, and you're going to be in a room full of excited people also trying them. That is going to be an amazing room to hang out in. That is, it's not fake fun. It's like legitimate, amazing stuff. And it's the lounges that I plan on opening are going to be super hospitality forward and vibey and awesome. It's all coming, and it's about to get really, really cool.
And before we let you go, you used one of my favorite words a little bit earlier, convivial. That's the joy of clinking glasses, breaking bread, and doing it together. James Beard said, father of American gastronomy, food unites us. You are redefining how we will be joyful and convivial in the way we unite. Tell everybody where we can find you online.
You can find me at ocean.beach.cafe on Instagram. I'm there a lot. I also have the Josh the Non-Alcoholic account. And there is the Mindful Drinker documentary is on the Josh the Non-Alcoholic YouTube account. feel free to reach out on the Ocean Beach Cafe account.
Can people order products from you?
One more time?
And we've got 10 seconds. Can people order product from you?
No, they have to come in for the experience.
I love it. Josh, thank you. Cheers.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Ben.